Don't forget to suck some titties.
I can't stand fucking salesmen. I can't stand it. You know, I've gravitated a hatred towards sales, right? I'm not anti-sales. I am a believer that a sales, the biggest deceptive scam of a position we have in this world is a salesman. I honestly think salesmen, the sales position was put in place to sell questionable or to sell products that have a deceptive nature that internally in someone's gut, there's something off about this. So we need to put someone in there to convince someone like, no, it's not a scam. It's a life insurance, full term. And the more and more the more and more I live and the more and more I come across a salesperson, someone who's trying to off the street or someone that's trying to persuade me to sign up for something that I've never thought of signing up for, it rings a doorbell. Anytime you hear insurance, anytime you hear courses are probably the biggest scams out there. And honestly, for you people that get scammed and pay $400 for an online YouTube course to learn how to trade or to learn how to get your money up, when someone charges you a lot of money, when you don't have money, so you can budget less money that now you don't have, you're starting with the eight ball behind, you know? It's not going to work out in your favor. But, you know, I recently, in the past few months, I had a sales position. I literally got fired after a week. And I don't blame him. I was not comfortable. I do not believe in going around convincing people to overpay for shit. So, it's not that I went around saying, hey, this I wouldn't pay this. But I definitely wasn't out there to be like, yeah, you know what? You should definitely invest $4,000 in this unnecessary service right now. When you think about what are the positions that have a quote-unquote sales person, whose job is to get most of their money based off shit that whether they believe it or not, they're going to sell it to you because their livelihood depends on it. Cars, one of the most depreciating assets. So why do these car dealerships have car salesmen? Because you need someone to convince yourself, like, yeah, you're about to pay 3x times the market average. You're going to get fucked in interest, but I'm going to make you feel good about it. Because honestly, when you go somewhere, most of your homework should be done. And to have someone out there trying to tell you, $600 a month is nothing these days. Which, by the way, I just paid off my car. Literally this past week on time, and I didn't get no great satisfaction from it, because when you start paying car payments, it becomes just a fabric of your daily budget that you just added on, and it's just a thing you have to pay. I didn't get no great I don't feel like, oh my god, I'm debt free, because obviously not. You're never debt free in America. That's the beauty of it. Buy now and you will keep buying. There's no pay later because you're never going to pay it. That's the beauty of it, you know? No one gets out of this life debt-free. But just like someone trying to sell you a hydro chamber service. I went to, and what sparked this was actually like a month and a half ago. I went to my gym. I'll just say it's a Crunch Fitness. It's a commercial gym. And you know, you have those days you just want to go in the gym and get out. You don't really want to even have the idea of interacting. You're just kind of like, I just want to go. I don't really feel like being here, but you force yourself to go. and you walk in, and you know that empty film where you can't avoid it. There's one entrance, and there's just seven tables of people set up trying to sell you something. And I'm like, it made me almost turn back to go to my car, like, I guess I'm not going to the gym today. That's how much of a lazy fuck I've become. I'm like, you know what? I know I planned my past hour. I've already taken my pre-workout, my creatine. I'm ready to hit it hard, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. You know why? Because of the current, I don't know what I am, Gen Z X, where you just want to avoid any discount. Like, I don't want to tell you I don't care. I have my earbuds. Now I have to take my earbuds out. And someone's like, hey, boxing, you want to sign? I'm like, no, I'm good. Like, come on, it's free. It's like, if it was free, you wouldn't have to convince me. Because when something's fucking free, you don't need someone to stand here for 4 fucking hours telling people to pay for your overpriced service. You know who doesn't really go around giving business cards? Amazon. Do you have some shady practices? Sure. Do all their products are probably made questionably? Yeah. But they don't have people going around like, hey. You know? And it's always people with questionable products. Someone was actually there selling kids' pageant wear. Like, who's going to a gym thing like in the back of their mind, like, you know what, man? Only if there was a pageantry I could give my future 5-year-old child when they want to get into some questionable behavior just for Larry Nassar to come get her. Sorry, that was pretty, ooh, that was a little bit too far. But yeah. People selling like these weird prom dresses. And then there was another one, if I remember. You know, I think I took some notes on it. I probably should have prepped it a little bit better. But the point is I hate being sold something. The salesperson position. I don't have any disdain towards you. I know you're just doing a job. But I just want you to know you're trying to sell something that you don't believe in and you fucking know it. That's why they have you do it. Because think about it, you create a product or you create something that's good. It will stand the test of time. You don't have to go to a million, like, you know, pay for an advertisement. Do a commercial like the rest of fucking society. Going to set up a flip-flop table somewhere. I'm not knocking the hustle. I'm knocking the fuckery. Just know there have you there to sell something that's obviously questionable in nature. And there was no catch. If it was just a full-fledged, this is what you get. Anytime, there's always trials attached to something. Which, by the way, which brings my next thing. I was, you know, it was ironic because I'm watching 2B TV. I'm watching a movie in the advertisement. There's an advertisement for YouTube Premium or some YouTube thing where it was like, don't miss a 7-day free trial for the WNBA season league pass. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to laugh at the WNBA, but I'm like, first of all, no one even watches the NBA league pass when it's free. And I love league pass. I used to watch it when we get it the first week of the year. You know, it was the last time I've gone and just, you know, paid for League Pass. Fucking never. This is called Stream East. Sorry to blow your cover. Even though I couldn't watch the fucking Knicks game last night. Because, oh. Router. probably wasn't even your fault. You can't, by the way, you can't use free site that may or may not be legal and get mad when it works or it doesn't work. Like, it sucked, but I couldn't really sit there and throw my shirt around like I fucking paid for WNBA League Pass. But and I'll say this about the WNBA. I don't want to get into the pay and all that shit. I think, honestly, from an outside point of view, the real biggest issue with that league, and it has a lot to do with ESPN, the sports network, they create such a negative division that's not there. And we live in this culture where we think that competition is just animosity towards it. We got to create animosity. That's not really what competition is. It's respected competition, aggressive competition to get the best out of each other. Hatred for someone that does, it's weird how they want to create a division between two people, two players that do the same, have the same profession, are great at their profession. The only two people that could probably relate to each other in the world for what they do, their daily tasks or daily struggles they go through, and they want to create a negativity. So there's this whole like Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese, and there's always these comments that about, oh, because Caitlin Clark's white and all this stuff. And it's just like, this is why I think the WNBA is going to have a hard time growing, is because they really do get in their own way. Businesses that get in their own way, when they get a good thing, they're going to be looking back 10 years from now and realize how much of a wasted opportunity they had. Like, they could legitimately use this as, like, the bird magic to help grow the league. And that's not race specific, but it's just you. This could be the starting point of what actually elevates the growth to the next level of the league. And then you're just sitting here. You have Ellie Duncan on ESPN. You have these, I remember Fox Sports. And it's funny how Joy Taylor, I think she's starting to break. You can kind of see the tea leaves. She's starting to separate from the sports. She's using this scandal to start her own thing because I think she sees a rising coming. And she's going full, whatever she tried to dispel potentially of her sleeping her way to the top with the old ass guy. When you say, yeah, I would date a 7-year-old guy, hey, you know what? You're kind of telling on yourself. And sometimes I think we live in an ultra where we put people in corners and they get, people always feel they have to be so defensive about everything that they might as well just go all in. I think she's accepted the fact. People think I'm a hoe anyways. I might as well just talk about it. And there's no shame in it. And I'm not saying she should have shame. What I am saying is, you know, this is why you gotta look past legalities. You gotta look past, just because people don't comment on something and they do the legal stuff where they, you know, don't comment and shit like that. When you're innocent and you know you didn't do something and you have nothing to do with it, you would just come out and say, I didn't do that. And not only she never did that, she's almost doubling down with her behavior and almost has this feeling that I can get away with fucking anything. You know why? Because obviously she kind of can. And she probably, she may have some dirt that they may not want to come out with. It's weird how someone who's in that situation can not only keep their job, no real form of punishment, took like a week or two off, came back like it was nothing. And is not even keeping quiet about it. But now is starting to venture in those topics on her personal shows. And is just going all in. Like, hey. Like, she talked about some, you know, vulnerable stuff before. But now she's going out there like, nah, you guys ain't shit. You know? But yeah. Now they get too real here. But obviously we got the Diddy stuff. By the way, welcome to the Off Me Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. If you're at a ditty party, you probably got more than titties. Recording this on May 17, 2025 at 3:26 p.m. Eastern for the archives. Now, you remember the last episode, I said, hey, I'm back from hiatus. Well, I decided I took another month hiatus. Not on purpose. I don't know, you know, I will just say this, like, and being in podcast shape, it is different. I'm starting to get it a little bit now. Being 15 minutes into it, I'm starting to get a little bit of a rhythm, just being open about it, but it's just like one of those things, you know, you go through phases and you're just like, I don't really have much to talk about. I'm not really like developing new ideas. I'm kind of in a rut, but you know what? I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I got some time today. We're going to try it out. So fuck it. But yeah, Diddy. I'll be the first to admit, I'm not really keeping up with the Diddy trial. I think, like, I just don't care about a lot of shit anymore. And look, I mean, the Diddy stuff, it's like, it's pretty, we all know what's going to happen. The dude's going to prison. All really what this trial is going to do, it's just going to expose all the factors around it. And it's going to just put people in perspectives and in lights that they're kind of forced to now because it's such a public trial. So there's a lot of people, for the most part, a lot of people are praising Cassie for, you know, honestly being strong, vulnerable, going up there with a pregnant fucking belly. And I'm saying that like the stress hormones of having to revisit all this shit, then go on trial and testify, and then have people be like, yeah, but there's a text message from 2011 that you said pee on me. I'm not laughing about it, but you know, it's 2011, you know? Everyone got peed on in 2011. But yeah. I think the cat peed on me earlier. But yeah, that's near here nor there. she wanted her kitty peed on. No, but in all seriousness. So I'm not going to really... I'll just speak on the stuff I've heard. There's some conversations going around about... It's an interesting conversation about... She was obviously a victim in a situation where she was... It's pretty... I mean, there's the video evidence. She was physically abused, assaulted. Now, the real... Was she sex trafficked and stuff? I don't know too much of the details about that. But obviously, she was more of a victim in this situation than, you know, a lot of people, even the naysayers, you can't deny. She was physically abused. The question that I think we gotta kind of, what they're trying to do in the trial is paint a light on her, is what, did she voluntarily stay in something that served her until it didn't, right? So she entered the relationship, I believe, when she was like 19 or 20. So she entered the relationship from a very young age. And this is the part where it gets tricky for a lot of people. People have a big, you know, a young woman should be able to date anyone she wants of legal age. But then when it doesn't work out, then it's creepy. But then when it's normal, it's liberated, right? As long as there's a beneficial aspect to it, it's okay. But the second it doesn't, and some of that Willie D, I know you probably never thought I would say the name Willie D. He put out, I believe it was a tweet or whatever, a statement, his thoughts about, at some point though, the issue with this case and with Cassie is that there comes a point where self-accountability of putting yourself in a relationship when everyone knew the type of ish that came with Diddy. Like, what lifestyle did you think you were getting yourself into? Now, what people will say is she was 19 or 20 at the time. You're that young. You're not developed and all this stuff. It's like, look, when you're, yes, and that's why, then if that is the case, then we should have a limitation on age between consenting relationships. My opinion, right, if we're going to go down that road. I believe it's weird in general for that wide of an age gap, especially that young of a girl, for a lot of reasons. And this situation kind of speaks out on that. And it's not to put the blame on Cassie in any state or manner. But there is an accountability of you voluntarily entered a lifestyle. These freak offs, everyone knows what goes down with Diddy. If you were in that world, even people outside knew the shit that came with Diddy. So you can't. What happened to her is unfortunate. He should be held accountable to the highest extent. But we also just can't absolve Cassie of just not knowing any idea. And I was listening to the JBP podcast earlier. And they had a conversation about when you, there needs to be conversation of when you are that young and vulnerable. That wasn't, it was more the conversation of when things, the issue with this case is Cassie is not a complete didn't know what was going on victim here. And that's where there's a little iffiness. And it's always going to be two things can be right. Diddy's a piece of shit and did a lot of bad things. And there's evidence of some sort that Cassie didn't necessarily was against participating in a lot of these crazy shit that happened. But she was maybe drugged up out of her mind, inebriated. And maybe there was some Stockholm syndrome, and that's where a lot, it's like when you're caught in an abusive situation, victims never escape because they try, I think, 6 or 7 times, or there's just a, there's a fear of, well, you know, what are the other options here? With Cassie, I feel very, you know, I'm on her side. She's a victim of this situation. The thing that bothers me just in general about situations like these is people get themselves into situations and they're just like, you enter, when you enter certain fields of territory, you gotta always, not expect, but you always gotta understand that in the back of your mind, shit may happen to you. To what I mean by that, because it sounds really bad, but what I mean by that is you can't enter the sea and expect for a shark to might not bite you. You didn't enter a relationship with Diddy because you thought you found the love of your life. There was a lot of great benefits that came with it. And there were certain things you didn't mind at the time. And then over time, when it escalated to a part beyond your comfortability, and that's where shit hit the fan. But when you enter a territory of being in very demonstrative relationships like that, whether it's highly sexual in nature, where it's a lot of power dynamics, someone that holds that much power in their local world, in their industry. And you knew that, and you knew the stories behind it, but yet you entered a full-fledged relationship because who knows why. I don't want to project her reasons, but I don't see, to be honest, I don't see Diddy as someone that she thought was the love of her life either. Call me crazy. you know, I don't, not at that point. I think he was already kind of fucked up beyond to a point. I think overall, the thing about the situation is the prosecution is trying, or the defense is trying to pin Cassie in a way that she's a, trying to, they're, all they're really trying to do is catch her in technicalities. And that's the thing that annoys me about law in general. It's all about, they can ask you the same question 20 different ways. You slip up and say a word one way instead of another like you would in a normal conversation. Then they could catch you on this. Oh, it's a mistrial for that, blah, blah, blah. Or they're trying to drag it out to where she has her pregnancy and then they could, you know, delay the trial, whatever. Like, I don't think all that's happening. But it creates a lot of theories. In this trial, like, it's bigger than Cassie because obviously there's a lot of victims. There's a lot of people that are attached to these situations that if other people come forward, might be brought to the limelight that they're trying to protect. I do think that's a real thing. I guess, I don't know, I don't want to go on and on about some that I'm not really keeping up with, but I think the reason why I don't really care to keep up with, because what's it going to do? It's not going to change the landscape. Diddy's going to go to prison. He's not going to be a free man. I hate to break it to anyone that's holding that hope, regardless of what you think. Like, I do think two things would be true. I think we also just can't use, well, someone was young, so they're completely innocent or absolved of anything. Like, Cassie and people that enter those extreme relationships where you know what's a, you know the type of person you're getting literally in the bed with. Like, you know what? Like, two. Guys that he brought over, guys that, and to pee on you. Like, I don't, like, it's weird. And I understand you get caught in that lifestyle. Even if you enter into something, you had no plans to go to a certain point. But because you, someone's taking care of you, you will do anything. You'll go above and beyond. You're on so many drugs, this, that, and the other. You get caught up in the lifestyle. Like, I get it. But then you got to take accountability for continuously staying in that lifestyle. You know what I mean? People think it's like, it's not victim blaming. Because Cassie is a victim here. But even victims, there's, in my opinion, in a lot of cases, where a lot of people put themselves in positions that are unsafe, and then they're surprised when unsafe thing happens. It doesn't mean it was right what happened. Of course not. But if you go outside at 3 a.m., or if you go outside at, you know, 1 a.m. in the most dangerous parts of a city, and sure, it may not happen to you. It doesn't mean something should. But if something does, you can't be surprised when you go to an area where statistically bad shit happens. You can't take out four personal loans and expect your net worth to go up. you know, some things are just not working in your favor. You got to play the odds. You know, it's like day trading. But yeah, move on to the next thing. I hate salespeople. I can't fucking stand these wannabe. Ooh. Hold on. Sorry. Got a little text message from the lady. Damn it. I gotta edit this out. But yeah. Yeah, day trading. It's going fantastic. But yeah, day trading. Update. I suck. Is one of those professions, and by professions I mean unpaid, and by unpaid I mean I'm donating money. You know how they say you're donating money? I see what they mean. I used to watch the videos of people joking around by it, but I get how it happens. Because you know what, man? The market makes no fucking sense some days, you know? Like, you could do everything right, quote-unquote, on paper, and then, like, you, like, I'm not even exaggerating. I went, I had a position. I think it was, like, on Google. I fucking hate, I will never trade Google or NVIDIA again. I don't know what, either there's just certain fucking stocks. I fucking hate NVIDIA. Everyone, these shows I watch, they trade NVIDIA. It's a high volume stock. And then the second I was like, you know what? I'm going to give this a shot. This is going this way today. And then it won't do shit. There's nothing worse than being in a trade where it's not doing shit. I would rather just fucking off the bat down 80%. I would be down $200 than to sit in between a 30 cent range for an hour and a fucking half when it's decaying to nothingness. I don't fucking want it. That is the worst. but look, it's and it's the weirdest thing. Like, when the day ends and you have a bad day or just a negative day, like, you know, you hate yourself for an hour or two, and then it becomes 8 o'clock that night, you're paying attention, and you're like, you know, I'm going to look at... You already start, like, just moving on to the next day, which is actually a good trait. It's a good... The quicker you move on, the more you just get ready to keep going to the next day. But, and then, like, you know, gets to the next day, the next morning, it's like 5, 6 a.m., you're starting to get those butterflies. Like, yes, I'm going to lose more money today. Is that fun? Like, it's like every day, it's like that feeling of today could be the day. And that sounds like a gambling. Today's going to be the day. I'll get into, you know, I actually did write down. I want to get into something about gambling. Trading is not gambling to the extent of going to a casino. Because, yeah, you can lose money trading, but there's actual stuff, you know, approaches, technical stuff you can do to put yourself to lower your risk of losing money. You can actually risk manage in trading. I just choose not to so far. But not effectively, consistently. But neither nor there. But yeah, you know, I love it though. I love the game. I love, it's weird how, like, you know, like, you just, and this is probably going to bite me the ass one day. I really feel like trading is like, there's something, it's not about the money, the quick money, because I've had good weeks, I've had some, the past couple weeks have been pretty rough. United Health, you fucked me in the ass. Oh God, your CEO just had to fucking resign for personal reasons and drop 100 fucking points when I actually need the stock to go up when I bought it on the dip. You know, you already fucked me medically. Don't fuck me stock-wise. God. Actually, I had United Healthcare, one of my previous jobs, for it was a company's insurance, you know? It was actually pretty decent insurance for me, you know? If you get it through a company, it's not bad. But when you actually just get insurance on your own merit, oh my God, you are fucked. There's no upside. I think, you know, this is a controversial statement. Well, yeah, probably not really. I think people are waking up to a lot of this shit. I think insurance is the biggest scams we have been convinced is beneficial to us. Like, sometimes, like, I'm pretty sure it's a quote somewhere out there in a book from Sun Tzu or one of those philosophers, Aristotle. Somewhere, like, when something just, if everyone is mad about something, everyone is so upset about something, and everyone just gets fleeced from a thing, then it's probably not a good thing, right? And, you know, people are going to say, well, without insurance, you would pay, you know, $3,000 instead of $10,000. Okay. But the thing is, like, with insurance and my belief on medical stuff, like, I get it. You get to a certain age, your body just can't keep up with the conditions of life. But a lot of whether you need insurance or not is really how well you take care of yourself. Yeah, freak shit can happen. You break your leg, you blow your back out. Depends on what you're doing. Yeah, I don't think OnlyFans has medical insurance. But you're probably making so much fucking money, why the fuck does it matter? Yeah, you're going to need a monthly STD kit. Nothing wrong with that. I'm a big fan of the chlamyds. Not that I've had it, but I assume it feels good. Make you feel alive. Scratch your balls, boy. Boys can get chlamydia, right? Yeah, we can all get. Thing is, I would have to do a yearly breakdown. I've had insurance for the past, actually, I don't have it now, but I had insurance for a good 3 years, right? I've had insurance since my childhood through my dad's company, and then when I finally got my own and all that good stuff. And if you were to do, all I would say is, like, go over the past 10 years. The amount of insurance you pay versus how much you actually used and saved out of it. I'm sure for 90% of people, you probably paid more, substantially more, than whatever you saved by having it. So what I think there should be, because the point is we have too many, we don't have enough doctors, we have too many patients. So what you should do is, if someone has insurance and they have not been to the hospital or the doctor for more than a year, other than a routine checkup or two, but if you have not expended X amount of insurance coverage and you've almost never used your insurance, I think you should get a percentage of it back. That should go with car insurance, health insurance, life insurance, any type of fucking insurance. But if we did that, then no one would make fucking money. Insurance has, I believe, designed mentally for people to be okay with regularly going to places they're going to upcharge you. It is like having a car warranty. But car warranty is actually good for the most part. You have a car warranty, it's going to incentivize you to constantly, oh, I have this problem, let me go check it out. And they're going to find that, and then they're also going to find something else. And now you have a CPAP problem where you can't breathe, and you just went in to get your toe checked. True story. when a lot of this shit can be fixed through just daily lifestyle changes for a lot of people. Until it's irreversible, then, you know. And so, I don't know. Insurance, to me, is just, it pisses me off, man. But yeah. You know how healthy you fucked me. yeah. But yeah. Trading. Gotta love it. And it's this beautiful feeling of, God, trading puts you through it. You know, you would never think it. I'm also relying on it for a portion of income. So it's a little bit different game I'm playing. But yeah. Today's market don't make no sense. So, I've been seeing a lot of, and I feel like I've talked about it before, but just gambling in general, right? There's a big outcry about people making commentary videos about the moral dilemma of promoting gambling, like Prize Picks, Stakes, FanDuel, casino gambling, whatever. And there's people that actually believe that gambling should be banned. And one, it's funny, I think gambling, I'm not saying it's great for you. I'm not advocating it. I've sports gambled in the past, and I was terrible at it. But I never looked at sports gambling and think like, oh, this was going to make me money. I knew I was probably going to lose money. But I am not a fan of banning stuff like that. I'm sorry. I think people that blame gambling for their gambling addiction, blaming FanDuel, blaming casinos, blaming... Now, there's a bigger issue with casinos where if you win too much, then all of a sudden they stop you, and sometimes they don't even pay you out, and they'll accuse you of some shit that you weren't doing because you're making money. That's a separate issue. But gambling in general, I'm sorry, but like, You need to stop blaming casinos for your lack of self-control or because you had a father that blew his money and your parents divorced because of money. Like, your dad just had a lack of self-control. And what it does, to me, the bigger issue with it is it takes the I hate to bring it back to Cassie, but it takes the accountability of what you did to put yourself in that position. You made yourself make an account, whether that's online or going to a casino, whatever. You created an account. You deposited your own money. You placed your own bets, and you lost your money, or you won your money. That is not their fault. You did that. And the issue is, I think it's a bigger microcosm. It's like we always want to blame companies, global enterprises for why we're broke and for our addictions. Like, you want to, so what, you want to ban alcohol? Yeah, we did that before. You know what happened? People drank more, you know? And people have the right to want to enjoy shit. My theory is in this new age, we want to ban gambling because it's typically a men's vices. And we think if we take away vices out of society, that it will just solve issues. And you know what? If a guy doesn't gamble, he's going to drink. If you take away drinking, he's going to do something. He's going to beat you. He's going to take his rage out on the world. Now, some guys have the trifecta. They do all three. But a man has a choice to what he wants to do with his money. A person has a choice. And I hate to take that, regardless if 99% of people fail, never make a dollar from it, never make any income. Gambling is not designed to make an income. But there are people that do. But it's supposed to be just an experience for people that do want to do it. I just can't stand, we have these videos, the morality of promoting it. They should be able to promote their shit the same way we allow fast food companies. I'm sorry. Like, if your son sees a FanDuel ad at the age of 23 and becomes a gambling addict, it is what it is. But if he doesn't have the self-control to know when it's a problem to stop, then that's a him problem. That's an individual problem. We can't hold companies accountable for what you voluntarily decide to go and do. Because what it does, it takes away for... make some money and have a little extra for whatever. That's the part that hates me. Like, I hate when you restrict access to stuff. Because what I think... I hate to... it's not liberal mind. But I think what people that are so against the stuff is they think the more restrictive we make it, the less problems we have. But all you're doing is you're complaining about the same shit that you wouldn't want happen. You complain about having more inclusion. You want more broadened access to things. We all want to, you know, not have any restrictions. Everyone have the same opportunities. And then what you do is you cut opportunity from something that could be something someone enjoys in a healthy manner. You can, you know, vape your Pokemon elf pin to the day you die, but someone can't bet $20 on whether Jalen Brunson is going to get 23.5 points or not. You tell me what's more harmful. Because you know what? A person, we can't say we live in a free fucking society and we tell people what they can't do with their money. When we already restrict, when we take taxes for Social Security, that most people are not going to see, you're going to get taxed, and then you're going to get taxed again when you take it out. You get 401k, you get taxed again. You're nonstop getting taxed out of your butthole for every little fucking thing. You interest and tax, and then, you know, someone wants to make some extra money quickly, and that's a problem. You know, I just don't like when people tell people what they can do with their money. Because you're opening a can of worms that you don't realize. It's always come from people that use ChatGPT to get through school, you know? ChatGPT writes their essays for their whole college career. And then when they're 25 having to make a resume, they don't know how to make a fucking resume because they had ChatGPT. But I guess you could just have ChatGPT. And it kind of defeats the purpose. Like, you realize people are only hurting themselves when they have obsessive use of automated use. Because sure, like, you might get good grades and stuff like that, but then when you get out in the real world and try to apply a lot of skills and you can't apply it, guess what? You're fucked. Like, all the shit that you went in the $60,000 in debt just to have something else do the work for you, and you didn't even get the benefits of it. You didn't get a real measure of where you stand in something. You get into a field, you feel overwhelmed, you feel underqualified, you feel like you don't know what you're fucking doing, so you quit after 3 years, have a midlife crisis, start a podcast, you know, try trading, and, you know, you say, fuck it. I'm kidding. I never graduated college, so it never mattered to me. And that's fine by me. But I don't have this illusion, but at least I just quit college because I wanted to. Because I knew it's not something, I didn't feel like, for me personally, it was going to pay off for me. Because I knew the things I wanted to do had nothing of substance or value of what I would take out from here. Because you got to remember what degrees are. They aren't necessarily certificates that this person is actually qualified to do the job. It just means you're credentialed. Credits doesn't necessarily mean I can have, put like this, you can have two people in investing, finance. One person, they have the same credential from the same university. You get them in the building, and then you ask them, and then you have them break down spreadsheets. You have them break down finances. And they don't even know what a reverse mortgage is, some of these people. Some people don't even know what an annuity is. Some people don't even know how to do their own taxes, and they're in finance. But you're taking people's money and investing money, and you only know how taxes work. And that's the thing, like, people don't realize, like, the beauty of education, and it's ever, like, you constantly have to keep learning your profession, or you're going to get dated out of it. You can't just leave the classroom, never read another book about the thing again, and then you're, you know, an aquamarine for the next 40 years. All right, it's not aquamarine. It's, what the fuck? I'm trying to think of 51st Dates. Whatever the he was, where he worked with dolphins and shit. But yeah, it's fascinating to me that I think gambling should always be legal. I'm sorry. And maybe it's come from a male, a degenerate, who doesn't even gamble. But I hate when people try to take, like, gambling is what has made America. And I honestly do think, you know, I just hate, like, I don't understand people. I understand, like, you're worried about the youth and shit, but we're obviously not. We're putting shit in the food. We're giving medicines that are useless. We're advertising shit, you know, putting stuff in people's bodies. They have no idea what they're doing, but you're worried about someone who worked for their money and they decide, you know what? I want to risk this money. Gambling, investing, long-term is risky. You can invest, you know, here's the thing about, people always talk about index funds. My belief about the stock market that I've developed, and I promise I'm going to come back to gambling. The stock market, the reason why the stock market will constantly keep going, the price of stocks, the price of these index funds, they're going to constantly go up, one, to adjust for inflation and cost of living. Two, it's because there's a lot of fucking money and people that rely, and if they want something to stay going up, they're going to keep it going up. Okay? The whole job of the stock market is to balance each other out. You have a really bad couple weeks, and then a week where shit just blows up. Everything is just balancing. Nothing stays down forever. Nothing stays up forever. It's only a matter of time for things to go back and forth. It's a gamble. And people, I mean, but there's always a possibility where the S&P, where it's like at $5,400 or some shit at any given day now, maybe $5,800. That shit, I mean, during the crash, it went down to like $2,800. Just 10 years ago, that it was like down in the 3,000. It's up to $5,800 a share. Like, that thing, you know, who knows, in 10 years from now, we could have an epic global war and shit. That thing could go down to $1,000. Who fucking knows? But if the S&P goes down to $1,000, we all probably got bigger issues to worry about, because no one's going to have a place to live. But you'll be taking a gamble thinking you're making this safe investment everyone talks about, and then 10 years from now, it's you lose all of it. So there's nothing guaranteed. Anyways, right? But yeah. I'll tell you, there's an actor. I've really marveled. I think the reason why they gamble, like, I keep seeing videos making commentary of it, like, whole, and it's probably younger generation people talking about the problem with promoting gambling and what it's doing to the youth. It's like, we gotta hold people accountable. You become an alcoholic, like, you gotta take accountability for that. No one is sitting there just pouring it down your throat every day. It's a condition. People fall into bad times in life. You know, people become chemically addicted to feeling good, and they have that everyday feeling of, next thing you know, it's like a weight gain. You know, I've gained a little bit of weight. But I'm aware of what is happening. I'm not blaming anyone else because I've been a little bit lazy than usually am, because I'm not as active. I'm sitting down for most, like, I'm not sitting here blaming society because I have a beautiful fucking computer that could do a lot of shit. Because I could watch movies in HD. I'm not blaming that because, you know, I put on 20 pounds in 3 months. Like, that's stupid. Like, I'm about to fucking eat again in an hour. Like, of course I'm a fat fuck. That's why I'm wearing a black sweater. And it's weird. Like, I get it. You know, it's an easy thing. You could blame the foods we have. You could blame America for this and that. The food dies. Like, it sucks. They should be taken out. But you could have found food without food dyes a month ago if you wanted to. Like, you're worried, like, people worry about the food dyes, and then they're fucking, you know, going to Chipotle every fucking day. And think they're eating healthy. Not knowing the seed oils and shit that's in that. You know, you can't, you know, you got to fight your battles. You got to understand that not everything is some corporation trying to fuck you over. Except if it's insurance. Then they're fucking you over. And the fact they make it legal, like, oh, you got to have insurance. It's like, why the fuck do I have to have insurance? I'm the liability. Hello? I get it. You get in an accident. They want to. It's like, I'm going to get in an accident. I have this full coverage insurance. It's not my fault. And somehow you're going to twist it in a way where, like, well, since they hit you at this time of day and you were in between policy changes, we actually can't cover this part. It's like, oh, so what have I been paying $240 a month when I've had no accident? Somehow my insurance was fucking raised. Having no fucking incidents. But you want to sit here and tell me I need fucking insurance. And then when I actually need you, then you're paying the fucking ass. You're like the fucking bank. Hey, I've been not costing you any money. And then the second I need you guys, hey, sorry about that. And you're like, oh, okay. Fuck me. Daddy. They're fucking you, all right. But yeah, good times. And we've cultivated a society where it's lack of accountability, blame, always blame it on government, always blame it on third-party corporations, always blame businesses that are like, hey man, we're just here fucking putting slot machines. Like, you guys think you're pressing buttons where a fucking pig is farting out 10K on a slot machine that you just pressed a fucking button and you think the odds are in your fucking favor? Like, go eat some bacon, you fat ass. Crispy bacon. That's the wild part. It's fucking, it's like, God, I'm just so annoyed by it. God. People think, like, I'm sitting here, like, I'm gonna sit here and have a gambling ad. Like, I mean, it's just like anything. Like, I probably wouldn't sit here and be like, guys, if you aren't gambling, what's wrong with you? But, yeah, I'll probably be like, hey, you know, use my promo code, 20% off. You know, only spend what you're willing to lose. Like anything in life. You gotta have limits. You can't just go out to eat and have no limit. Like, you know, have a respectable limit. Like, hey, you know what? If I go to a takeout place, my rule is for one individual, even in today's crazy inflation, I am not, if it's just I'm picking up some food just for me, I am not spending more than $15. I'm just not. There's something, when you're spending $20 just to eat for yourself for lunch, like there's something odd about that. Like it doesn't feel right. Like I'm picking up food that's pre-made that you guys just, you know, put some shit together. I'm not paying more than $15. So you got to have those rules for yourself. And God, you know, it's just like people always, oh, my grandfather was a World War II vet. And then he became an alcoholic, gambled away his whole VA. And then my grandma had to leave. Then she was in debt. It's like, well, then, you know, that dude just didn't give a shit. He probably had PTSD. But you're blaming because he, you know, lost 20K on an online blackjack table. When the bigger issue was his PTSD from World War II. You know, people always want to blame, oh, it's gambling's fault. It's like, no, it's all the stress that you put on the man. Oh, it's all the, like, you know, it's all the love your child never felt. They never actually go to the source of the fucking problem, why your kid drinks his life away. You know? No, it's a gambling site. It's like, you know what? I'm sorry that's the thing that made that kid feel stimulated. You know? I don't know if I told the story. Actually, I went, it was years and years ago with a friend of mine before he passed away. He told me with a group, we went to Alabama. It was this casino in Alabama. And I'm glad I had this experience because it really did, like, let me see the sketchiness of casinos, right? I went to a casino. And first of all, I didn't know, you know, they made you like a hotel key thing. But it wasn't a hotel key. It was like if you went to Dave and Buster's and you have the play card where it has the money on it. And every time you played a slot machine or wherever, you had to put your card in before you played. That's where they kept track of your money. That's where they put all the money on the card, but you have to like enter before you, and it's a way for them to keep track of how much you're winning. Because, and it is a theory, and I do believe it's true, when they see you're a new member, what they do is they find a way to have you win big enough early. They give you that itch to keep playing, they give your money back, and then some. It's a short term, hey, we're going to have you win some money, but we know we're going to get this back in the long run and then some. I do think that's a thing. And I'm not, and I know I've been sitting defending gambling, but what I'm saying is I won $800. Like, within, like, the first 20 minutes I'm there, I play a few things. I play on this one big, and it was, like, this mega one. The next spin, that's how much you win. You play the spin, and I won 800. And by the end of the night, yeah, I basically left with, like, 200 bucks. Because I did give a few to some people I was with that were kind of vultures. I'm not going to lie to you. And that helped me see, like, oh, these are people that are looking for quick money. And I saw, like, oh, I can see. And I had that experience. I'm not going to lie. I won it. I'm like, shh, let me try to get it. I kept playing the same shit. Lost another 100. But it was a good experience because it opened my eyes on the ride home. I'm like, why do I have this card? Why do they make you sign in to each machine to keep track of what you're doing? Like, that's not how. And that, to me, I never had a gambling itch after that, even though I won early, because it's something called critical thinking. It's something called seeing something for what it is and accepting for what it is and nothing more. I don't hate casinos. I haven't been to one since. Would I go to one in the future? Of course. If I have money to blow, to have some fun, sure. It's fun gambling and losing money. It's absolutely fun. I'm not going to lie to you. But that's all I think about it for. Right? And it's an environment. It's an aura. It's an atmosphere. Like, you know, you got to learn to fucking relax. People be holier than thou because they see people lose. Like, why do you give a fuck if someone loses their money? That, you know, we live in a culture where we're pocket watching. We care so much about how much money someone's losing. And it's funny because it's like we hold people accountable for something that we can't even hold ourselves accountable for. I'm not going to sit here and tell someone to not trade. Hey, man, you shouldn't put $10,000 on the line, even though you have a $15,000 kit. You shouldn't put that much risk at it. But who the fuck am I to tell some guy that actually has $10,000 he's willing to risk? It's the same way, you know, it's the same way with being in shape. I'm not in as good a shape I was like 6 months ago. I'm working towards it. I'm not too happy about it, but it is what it is. And for me, it's funny because I remember when I was not in good shape, then I got in shape, and now I'm kind of like off the wagon a little bit. It's weird how people like are so disappointed in you when you don't stay in some peak superhuman, not superhuman, but when you're not in like a physically whoa, where it's just a stature, like where it's not physically like where you look like Thor, you know, that was a nickname I had because, you know, look. I was leaner. I had muscle. You know, I was lean, but big at the same time. Like, it was that perfect, the best shape I was in. But what I had to do from my job to working out, not eating, drinking a shitload of water, not like not eating on purpose, but, you know, I had very little time to eat. So when I ate, I just had to eat and then move on with the day. But the point I'm trying to make is it's funny how, like, when you're not in good, people are like, man, are you okay? I'm like, even in this state, I'm in better shape than you. Where the fuck am I okay? Why don't you get okay? How about you get okay before you ask me if I'm okay? You know what I'm saying? And it's weird, like, you know, people who, like, they build their physique or they get strong, then they decide it's just like, I don't, you know, I want to relax for a little while. It's not that important to me for a lot. People are like, this guy, you know, he just, it's just not the same. I'm like, you don't even have it. You never had it. You never had it to lose. I'm not going to sit here and tell someone with 50K. Sorry, I just hit my computer. I don't know if it fucked up shit. Who gives a fuck? But yeah, I'm not going to tell someone with, you know, that has a certain amount to lose that I don't have in my account, what they should do, because only they know what it took to have that and what they're willing, like, is it worth keeping all that? You know? don't know, man. It just bothered, like, it's like people always hold you to this, like, you got to be at this level all the time. It's like, bro, weight and money, it fluctuates. I look at my body weight and money. Like, it goes up and down. It really is like the stock, everything, the stock market, my whole life, it's just up and down. The stock market, my bank account, my weight. It's all just going in the wrong direction. one thing they all have in common right now, they're all going in the wrong direction. But, not forever. But, you know, in all seriousness, though, it's just, the power just went out again. What the actual fuck? Am I living in a fever dream? I'm probably in a fucking Matrix. By the way, I saw Interstellar. Really good movie. And movies like that really do get you to think about some shit. Alright, first of all, if you enter a black hole, you're done for. You're not falling to some dimension seeing some shit. I'm sorry. Your body's decapitating. Your suit, that suit he's wearing, it's ripping the shreds. You're gonna be like Ocean Gate underwater. That shit's gonna in like half a second. But that stuff really does make you think. Like, I remember I watched that movie, and like later that night, I was sitting down and I was just looking at a wall, and I'm like, there's some version of me. Anytime the power goes out, anytime a roach comes out of the wall, it's like, there's just me on the other side in this other dimension that's like, stop being a lazy fuck. Like, right now, there's probably me watching me in another dimension. That's the crazy part. And it may, I don't know, that life may be true. We don't really know. I don't really like thinking. I really think a lot of that stuff, like, I think people want there to be another universe of us, that we want to have 10 versions of us. It's like, I think the version we live is us. I don't think there's another version in another universe in a different environment where it's like, if we lived here, I think this is it. I don't think there's life like us on another planet. Maybe I'm naive. I don't know. I don't think that we are I will say, because I had a childhood imaginary friend, and every time I speak about it, I get a little nervous, because I remember one time I spoke about something of that nature and the room felt so off. When I started talking, it's like, it literally felt like somebody's watching me. It did. And like, you get this weird feeling. Like, I want to say, I don't think that stuff is real, but I had an imaginary friend when I was younger that my mom told me about, that I remember to an extent being kind of real, but I don't remember him, but I do remember moments being in that room and having interactions with things. But I don't know how to define it. When you're young, I don't really believe, like, when you're young, you really remember all this stuff. I think sometimes people, they feel like they got to have a certainty on their youth. So they feel like when they're 4 years old, I remember when I was 4 years old, I saw this and that. I think you were in an environment and then you kind of made up the rest a lot of times. That's my belief. I think we make up and over-exaggerate our youth in terms of like the ages 1 through 4.5 to 5. I think we over-exaggerate all that. I really do. Like, I'm sorry. Like, I think we always want to make like our life and our road was much tougher than it was. We live in a world where we feel like the more difficult our road was, the more credible it makes our voice. Damn, that's actually a bar. The tougher our road, the more credible the voice. Damn, I'm not gonna lie. It only took me 1 hour 10 to come up with a useful line in this podcast. But I really do feel like And we live in this, people always try to outmatch each other's struggle. It's the most, like, eye-rolling, exaggerated, like, it should not be, like, this crazy flex that, you know, you have to overcome 80,000 things to become a bartender. You know, like, I'm not shaming on bartender. Y'all make good money, but, like, you know, isn't it funny how, like, every actor has some crazy struggle where they struggled in Hollywood for, you know, 10 years and all this stuff. And it's like, then you actually dig in the story and it's like, you know, they had a cousin who knew a guy, got them, you know, a part in a small film, and then that worked with that director, and then they worked on another one, then a year. It's like, that's not exactly what you, you know, wrote in your, you know, nice little book 20 years later. It's always like, came to Hollywood, lived on a train in a boxcar. I once had the mop floors, you know, had mop floors in a corporate office, and they wouldn't even pay me legally. They had to pay me under the table, and the only reason why I got a job is because I had a friend that felt so bad for me. In order for me to get acting classes, I had to have a job and have proof of income, and fortunately, my teacher knew a guy who worked there, and he knew the boss, and then he said he would pay her part of his salary, and he did that for 5 years, and I never slept with him. Okay, that's what we're gonna fucking go with. Okay. It's like everyone has this over-exaggerated struggle. Bruh, I was homeless for 3 years before I became a day trading millionaire. Okay. And their idea of homeless was they got kicked out of their mom's house and they moved in with their stepdad. Alright. It's like, well, technically my mom's home was my home, you know. And they, man, like, I just get, it's all worn out. Like, people live in this, we want to live in a struggle all the time. People want to be, it's funny how people advertise, they want to be the struggle. They want to be the struggle so bad. Just so they could become the exact people that shame on the struggle. You know, isn't that the ironic part? They never get back. These people never ever get back. I'm sorry. People really cause self-inflicted issues, put themselves in crazy struggles, then, like, give, like, some commencement speech at a university they never graduated. There's nothing weirder than someone who gives a commencement speech at a university that they never attended. Like, it'll be the most, it'll be like a random actor giving a person that didn't even go to college. And all of a sudden, because, you know, they were in Fight Club, and all of a sudden, they're at Princeton giving some motivational commencement speech. It's like, what? Okay. Imagine being a student at Princeton, and you're like, yes, alumni. All they talk about is, you want to be an alumni here. And all of a sudden, you know, some guy with 2 Oscars goes up there and they're like, you know, the thing about hard work, people never understand. And you're down there looking like, huh, I spent 6 years of grad school, went 120K in debt. I got Edward Norton here giving me a speech about what it's like in the real world. Copy that. By the way, I'm not saying Edward Norton gave a speech, but, you know, you see all the time. I think Ashton Kutcher gave one somewhere. There's actors, and look, I get it, you know, but it's like, if the whole thing is about being an alumni somewhere, but then you just invite some random successful actor that has nothing to do with your university to talk about what it's like to be a lion, you know, you're going to be like, oh, So being an alumni here doesn't really mean a whole lot, you know. Because it seems like we award everyone but alumni. And what you realize is about who brings the cash in. But yeah. I don't know. I'm not gonna lie. When I record an episode and it goes pretty iffy, typically comes out pretty well. So I have no clue. you know, I'm gonna get back on the ball. I promise you guys, consistency used to be my name. And then I just kind of like, whatever. But you know what? I promise. This is the end of the hiatus. Hopefully I put this out by sometime Sunday or Monday. I'll put out, you know what? I'm recording this on Saturday. I'm putting this shit out Sunday. And then I'm going to record a couple more this week and then get back on the ball rolling. Because you know what? I'm here to fucking win. We're doing it fucking live. I'm watching too much YouTube. But yeah, that was episode, I don't even know what fucking episode. Yeah, that was episode whatever of the Off Me with Clint Nelson podcast. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Over to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification button, most important ladies and gentlemen. Don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah, my voice is gone, but my spirit is here and on. By the way, hat, merch. Yeah. But yeah, have a great day, morning, night, evening. Oh, God. That was not good.